Good morning, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. It's 10 o'clock. As it is the procedures of the summit in appropriations, we start sharp on our program time. Welcome to everyone present, the honorable members of the State Committee for Finance, as well as to honorable members from the Western Cape, chairperson of the Finance Portfolio Committee. Also welcome to MEC Maswale from the Eastern Cape. We've got a brand new member from the Eastern Cape here, Honorable Faku. She will join us in a few minutes. She's on her way, so Eastern Cape will represent her this morning. MEC also to your delegation. You can introduce them when you do your presentation. And also to the members of our staff. KPMG is here. And last but not least, the chairperson, acting chairperson of the Finance and Fiscal Commission, Mr. Kumalo, and his learned colleague next to him. Thank you for your presence, Mr. Kumalo. I think this meeting and these presentations will also assist you and your analysis regarding expenditure, referring to the division of revenue, etc. Honourable members, we started this program engaging with the provincial treasuries. After the happenings in Limpopo, when five departments were put under administration, section 101E of the Constitution 1996. And the questions we received, what did Parliament do? Didn't you see this thing coming? Parliament's role and the committee's role and the provincial legislators' role and their committee's role to oversight over the national and provincial departments on a quarterly basis. In terms of that, we will call, as we said, the provincial treasuries on a quarterly basis. As MECs for Finance go to the Budget Council and do a report to the Minister of Finance, engage with Treasury, in this case, coming to Parliament, come and account on the spending of the allocations made to those different treasuries and the departments in those provinces, that we can monitor what is going on and not be caught off guard when the bubble bursts and it's nearly too late. Even when we deal with annual reports, the quarterly reports being dealt with in Parliament and legislators is the forerunner for dealing with the annual report at the end of the year. So there's no excuse that they can pick up issues that are going in the wrong direction. So there was that background, and looking at our objective of governance, sound financial management, value for money, accountability, not only of calling provinces, but us sitting here as members of Parliament, MPLs, going to your constituency and account what did you do the first quarter of the year. Were you on holiday in Cape Town or in your main base in the province, or did you pass legislation, dealt with quarterly reports, etc.? Go and account to your people. This is an accountability exercise this morning, as well as enforcing the MFMA. Honorable MEC, welcome again. We'll give you the opportunity to make your input. We would like to know, what is your fiscal position in your province? For your own finances. I received this. This is my expenditure. This is my deficit. How am I financing my deficit? Over what period am I paying back any loans, etc.? That we get the full picture and the real picture. Welcome, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair of the Committee. Good morning to our members as well as all the participants. Firstly, let me express appreciation. We truly value the time that the committee is affording us to come and give an account to this honorable committee about the going on in terms of the finances in the province. We very welcome the opportunity. I am together with the team, Treasury, the HOD, accounting officer, Madam Tembo is with us here, as well as Ms. Andra Gossi in the budget office, as well as Mr. Promi, acting deputy in the program tool that looks overall to the budget as well as other related matters. Honourable Chair, we come back before the committee feeling a sense of confidence in our endeavours to make sure first that we can live within the means that are made available to the province. We come here coming from a background in which we had significant challenges to do with the management overall of resources, ability to spend correctly, where we've been experiencing challenges to do with over expenditure. Those matters we think we are fairly having a command on, to the extent that we are able to support fairly healthy state of affairs in terms of financial management in the program. The team will have been going through the details to bring to the fore in each of the different budget votes, how have we performed overall, what the position of the province is as we ended the year. As I say, fairly confident that we're getting there where everyone else appreciates the need as well as the requirements to stay within the provisions stipulated in the Public Finance Management Act. The HOD perhaps will indicate how the team is going to dispose of the presentation which we sent to the Honourable Committee sometime last week. I thought, given that my other colleagues have apologized for today, perhaps that will take us in a bit of a favorable consideration by the committee, but the team will attempt as much to expose the situation. With your permission, Honourable Chair, and I request the HOD to then take through.
Just before the HOD starts, thank you, Emissi, for your presence. Other provinces will have sent their officials without the Emissi. And we are consistent in this committee as well as on the Chinese Committee of Appropriations. We call MECs to account. Because when we are voting on budgets, it's politicians that are voting, not officials. It's politicians that's accountable to the people outside. They've got constituencies. So the other MECs and the HDs will be called on the 29th of May. We got approval yesterday afternoon. And we will communicate that with the rest of the provinces just for information. HOD.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable MEC and colleagues. Ms. Andangos will take up through the presentation and afterwards we will need to take questions with about program management.
HOD, did you redirect the... Just come again, I didn't get that one.
Chair, I requested that Ms. Ngozi take this house through the presentation, and myself and the program manager will actually answer the question after that one.
Are you the HOD?
Yes, Chair.
You're actually the accounting officer?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Honourable Chair.
No, don't worry about Honourable. It's just your role and function in terms of the theatre name.
I was
looking
for the digital chair for this.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I'll walk you through the slide. The first slide is basically the presentation outline. It goes like this. It's the summary of the province chair for this. The summary of expenditure by vote and economic classification, the conditional grant performance for the year, the infrastructure performance for the year, and the conclusion as was directed by the PAP. Basically, for the year in equitable share, the original budget was 46.94 billion rand. During the adjustment, we got an additional 619.6 million rand, and the total adjusted budget for the year in equitable share was 47.560 billion rand. Actual receipts were exactly like the adjusted budget, 47.56 billion rand, so we got the entire equitable share. In terms of all conditional grants, originally we had 9.68 billion rand. During the adjustment, we had additional money, 14.3 million rand, and then the total adjusted budget for the year was 9.697 billion rand. The actual receipts were 9.4 billion rand, with an under a receipt of 286 million rand, which we mean we got 97% of our total budget in terms of conditional allocation. Our own receipts, our original budget, we thought we would receive 774 million rand. The adjustments, we stuck with that number. But the actual receipts for the year were 1 billion rand, an overall collection of 244 million rand, which meant we had 131.7% of what we thought we would collect. In terms of the over collection chain, our own receipts, that comes as a result of interest and on bank balances, we had more than what we had anticipated initially, 141 million rand. Also, during the year, Chair, we tried to improve our governance in terms of Section 53 of the PFMA and actually called back surplus funds from previous year from rural development and agrarian reform, which amounted to 82.7 million rand. Health in its patient fees over-collected compared to budget by 33 million rand, that accounts for the 244 million rand over collection. On the side of the equitable share, Chair, of the total amount of conditional grants not received, 928,000 rand was from health professional training and development grant. Human settlements, the national department withheld 284.8 million rand due to slow spending. And then there was an amount of 584,000 rand that we never received for mass sport and recreation participation program grant. The next slide, Chair, is about the provincial expenditure by vote. The first one, Chair, can I ask for permission to do the department and do the explanations of the department in the next slide after that one? Basic education adjusted budget was 26.75 billion rand. The actual expenditure as of 31 March was 26.062 billion rand, leaving 691 million rand unspent. Now, the reason for that 691 million rand unspent is a delay in the payment of temporary educators, whose contracts were initially extended until the 31st of December 2012, but due to a concern around the disruption of teaching in the first quarter, they were further extended until 31 March, but they had not been paid, all of them, at the end of March. However, Chair, I must note that most of them have been subsequently paid during the April month, so we're probably going to have to give a rollover back for that money. The next one, Chair, of that 691 is about 181 million rand for rural allowance incentive scheme that has not been paid as at the end of the year by the department. The next one is the delay. There was a court order, Chair, I think around August 2012, where the department was required by the court to pay those temporary teachers that were appointed by the SGB. Now, there was a lot of calculation and requirements around how you decide which one is eligible for payment. And as of 31 of March, that court order had not been fully implemented. Subsequent to that, Chair, I must say, there's been considerable effort to do that. I think in the first week of April, they paid 31 million rand in respect of that court order. This, Chair, then that 691 million rand that was unspent at the end of the year, we believe most of it will go back to the department as a rollover. Next department, Chair, is the Department of Health. They got an adjusted budget of 15.7 billion rand. As at the end of the financial year, they had spent 15.56 billion rand, leaving an under expenditure of 169.47 million rand. The reason chair for that is there has been considerable delays, in particular the appointment of CEOs of hospitals and some medical officers and specialists. I think we have a challenge in attracting and retaining specialists in the Eastern Cape. These are both were advertised in March 2013, so we don't think the money will be rolled over, but we do think that this expenditure will not show in the current financial year. The next department is social development and special programs. The budget for the year, adjusted budget for the year, was 1.78 billion rand. They spent 1.746 million rand of that, 4.46 billion rand of that, leaving an amount of 32 million rand. Next department is provincial legislature, adjusted budget 415 million rand. No, no, it's the office of the premier. Adjusted budget 400.9 million rand. Total expenditure 396.9 million rand. Of that, they spent 99% of the budget. Provincial legislature received an adjusted budget of 415.7 million rand, spent 406.9 million rand. Roads and public works received an adjusted budget of 3.8 billion rand, spent 3.8 billion rand, leaving only 8.358 million rand. Local government and traditional affairs received a budget, adjusted budget of 813 million rand, spent 719 million rand, and only underspent, no, underspent by 23 million rand, which I don't think about. Rural development and agrarian reform received a budget of 1.68 billion rand, adjusted budget. Actual expenditure was 1.58 billion rand, and spent by 96 million rand. That was basically the result of challenges with emerging contractors and planning problems in the department that has actually led to the delay in the implementation of projects by the end of the year. Also, the withholding of the transfer to the public entity when it did not actually surrender the surplus fund is part of the explanation for that rather relatively huge under-expenditure. Economic development and environmental affairs received an adjusted budget of 835 million rand, and the actual expenditure was 807 million rand, leaving 27.8 million rand. The Department of Transport received an adjusted budget of 1.487 billion rand, spent 1.45 billion rand, leaving only 33.77 million rand. Human Settlements Chair received an adjusted budget of 2.57 billion rand, spent 2.279 billion rand, leaving behind 291.7 million rand. Basically, Chair, the challenges there is a result of lack of capacity by mainly emerging contractors that are supposed to do some of the low-cost housing. There are challenges also in procurement processes that are delayed for a number of reasons, including land issues, as well as challenges with housing beneficiary administration and the provision of bulk infrastructure by municipalities. Provincial Planning and Treasury received an adjusted budget of 342 million rand, and the other expenditure was 221.52 million rand, leaving behind 20.7 million rand. Now, I think I need to explain that one, since we're all responsible for it here. Basically, during the year, the National Treasury and the DPSA embarked on a process of creating a new structure for the Treasury that would be uniform or relatively uniform across board. And we took a decision to base a moratorium on all appointments that were not critical. And as a result, the goods and services associated with that, plus the employment costs associated with that, could not spend because in fact there's no point going ahead and appointing when you're changing the structure. Sports, recreation, arts and culture had an adjusted budget of 711 million rand, spent 650.8 million rand, leaving behind 60.369 million rand. That was basically as a result of the non-filling of vacant library assistant posts and the delay in the procurement processes for modular libraries and sports equipment. Safety and lies and received an adjusted budget of 63.3 million rand and the actual expenditure of 63.1 million rand, leaving only 166 million rand. So in total share, of the 57.39 billion rand adjusted budget, 55.9 billion rand was spent. Our underspending is 1.47 billion rand, which is we spent 97.4% of the total budget. So I'm going to slide number 8. The summary of expenditure by economic classification. All I want to draw the attention of the house to is there's work that we had to undertake during this course, early in the course of 2012-13, to try to improve and manage the COE expenditure in the province, which included scrutinization of all appointments, particularly by the Department of Health and Education, by the Provincial Coordinating and Monitoring Team, headed by the Office of the Premier, the centralization of the appointment function for both education and health in Provincial Treasury, a focus, which I think will be ongoing for another 2 years, on management of ill retirement and trying to improve leave management, general leave management, particularly in the Department of Education. We're about to embark on a headcount process with statistics department in the Department of Education for both the health, the learners and the educators. During the course of the year, shadow slide 9. In some departments, particularly health, there was over expenditure in goods and services, which we also show in accruals, we haven't brought here the accruals. And during this current year, the pressures were in medicine, blood services, and some of them relate to previous years of accrual. In education, there was centralization of LTSM for Section 21 schools, which were previously budgeted for in the schools themselves under transfers and subsidies. So that was moved to goods and services, so there was a sort of a balance there. In social development, we had challenges around communication and these costs in terms of goods and services. The material underspending trend that you'll see in transfers and subsidies is attributable to the following departments. Education, 204.4 million rand that now Section 21 schools were paid under goods and services. Human settlement is the issue around contractors, readiness and procurement issues as previously mentioned. In total share for capital assets will underspend in the year by 4.3%. From previous years we had an improvement in infrastructure expenditure and the spending in machinery and equipment actually decreased from 83.8% in 2011-12 to 71%. Generally due to delays in procurement processes for equipment and machinery. We're now going to the conditional grant share in performance. Chair, I'm going to highlight the ones that are actually a huge amount of under expenditure when you're comparing to other adjusted budgets. The first one is CAPS Chair. The adjusted budget was 196 million rand. The actual spending was 172 million rand and the underspending is 22.7.6 million rand. The next one share is the education infrastructure grant, where the adjusted budget was 932.7 million rand. Actual expenditure was 954 million rand, so there was an overspending in the education infrastructure grant of 21.9 million rand. The basic education HIV and AIDS grant, we received 38.7 million rand during the adjusted budget. The actual spending was 37.7 million rand, so we had a 97.4% spending in that one. The National School Nutrition Program, the adjusted budget was 907 million rand. The actual expenditure was 897.5 million rand, and the under expenditure 10.3 million rand. The Health Comprehensive HIV and AIDS Grant, the adjusted budget was 1.069 billion rand. We spent 1.110 billion rand, overspending 541.178 million rand. The Health Infrastructure Grant, the adjusted budget was 306.7 million rand. We spent almost the entire amount, 406.177 million rand. The Hospital Revitalization Grant, adjusted budget was 460 million rand, 414 million rand was spent, leaving 45 million rand unspent. National Tertiary Services Grant, adjusted budget was 702 million rand, 668 million rand was spent, leaving 34.27 million rand. The Further Education and Training Colleges Grant, adjusted budget 700.85 million rand, spent 687 million rand, leaving behind 13.7 million rand. The Human Settlement Development Grant, adjusted budget 2.200 billion rand, spent 1.999 billion rand, leaving behind 200.99 billion rand. The Disaster Relief Grant, housing, 92.85 million rand, spent only 2 million rand, leaving 89.9 million rand. The Devolution of Property Rate Funds Grant was 205 million rand, spent 199 million rand, leaving only 5.4 million rand. The Provincial Roads Maintenance Grant was 1.369 billion rand. Actual expenditure was 1.380 billion rand, leaving behind 10 million rand. The last one I'm going to say is the Public Transport Operations Grant. We received 174 million rand, which is only for one area in the province, and spent all of it, and the other two big areas remain unfunded. Of the total conditional grant adjusted budget, 9.9 billion rand, 9.49 billion rand was used, and unspent was 421.7 million rand. I'm in slide 11, Chair. It's just an explanation of what happened with the grant. The material ones are the only ones I will deal with. In agriculture, CAP and the Agricultural Disaster Management Grant wasn't spent according to plan due to lack of detailed planning, credit worthiness, and cash flow challenges with emerging contractors. An amount of 4.5 million rand has been recommended for rollover based on verifiable commitments already. The ILIMA project grant, also in agriculture, was underspent by 5.089 million rand due to internal planning challenges that delayed the implementation of the plowing program. A rollover amount of 1.72 million rand has already been recommended. In terms of the landscape grant, underspending of 1.881 million rand was due to procurement challenges for the delivery of fencing materials. A rollover of 94,000 rand has been recommended. In the education infrastructure grant, the overspending of 21.992 million rand is due to missed allocation of expenditure between conditional grants and ES infrastructure projects. Despite this missed allocation, the department improved on its overall infrastructure spending. National School Nutrition Program, the other expenditure of 10.3 million rand is due to late submission of invoices by service providers, as well as rejections of transfers to schools due to banking changes in banking details. 521,000 rand of this chair has been recommended for all over. The HIVA fund in education, we underspent by 989,000 rand, and that's basically late submission of invoices by service providers. 500,000 rand has already been recommended for all overs. The Technical Secondary School Recapitalization Grant, understanding of 14.5 million mines is due to delay in procurement processes, and 2.947 of this has already been recommended for rollover. Comprehensive HIV AIDS grants, the overexpenditure of 41 million rand in health is due to misallocation of the caregivers to the conditional grant, as well as misallocation of NHLS payments from the NTS just grant. Enough to this effect have been subsequently credited. The Health Professional Training and Development Grant and the spending of 10.087 million. It's due to the submission of devices by service providers. A further much has indicated 928,000 was withheld by the National Department due to slow spend during the year. A rollover of only 1.557 million rand has already been recommended. The Hospital Revitalization Grant, understanding of 45.6 million rand, is due to challenges with contractors at Frontier and St. Elizabeth Hospital, as well as Cecilia Makiwane site chair. Subsequently, the contractors where they were actually had problems have been replaced in on-site in St. Elizabeth, and work is going on. I don't think we're going to recover that money anyway. National Health Insurance Grant, the understanding of 3.40 million and is due to late admission of universities for the facility improvement and integrated school health project. 4,000 rand has been recommended for the rollover. It's committed. We only recommend for rollover when it's committed. When we can verify the commitment to the department. National Tertiary Services Grant. The underspending of 34.27 million rand is due to delayed procurement processes for the acquisition of three MRI scanners and outstanding invoices for work on the upgrading of hospital complexes. I must say the MRI scanners have been received. We know we've verified that, and the entire amount has been recommended for the rollover. In the nursing colleges grant, the 2.26 million rand were underspent was due to delays in the submission of progress certificates for upgrading of nursing colleges facilities. The full amount has been recommended for rollover. FET colleges grant underspending of 13.6 million rand was due to delays in the implementation of the KSD Kitika College. There was a legal dispute with the contractor in that facility. Human settlements grant and the housing disaster relief grant, 200 million rand and 90 million rand underspent, was due to poor contractor performance, late start in some projects, adverse weather conditions, and beneficiary administration challenges, as previously stated. The underspending in the devolution of property rates grant was due to delays in the reconciliation of invoices between municipalities and the Department of Road and Public Works. The underspending in the community library services grant of 21 million rand due to the challenges with the appointment of library assistants and the procurement processes for modular libraries. An amount of 11.85 million rand has been recommended for the rollover. The underspending in the mass sport and recreation participation program grant share of 8.5 million rand is due to the late introduction of the centralized tender for sports equipment and attire by the national department, as well as outstanding invoices for national and provincial school athletic championships. An amount of 7.536 million rand has been recommended for the rollover. Provincial roads and maintenance grant and over expenditure of 10.1 million rand is due to misallocation of expenditure between CES and conditional grant. EPFWP is a greater grant for provinces. There was an over expenditure of 2.78 million rand there. Social sector EPW incentive grant underspending of 2.8 million that is mainly in health due to delays in the placement of health communities. In total share, as previously indicated, the province spent 93.6% of its infrastructure budget. That was 7.25 billion rand. And the cumulative expenditure was 6.89 million rand by the end of the year. The total infrastructure spend, excluding human settlement, amounts to 4.898 billion rand, or 97% from a total budget of 5.75 billion rand. As previously stated, sir, the underspending is mainly in human settlements, 284 million rand. The Department of Roads and Public Works, Health and Education, and Human Settlements account for 96% of the share of the provincial infrastructure budget. The smaller departments have generally been underperforming in infrastructure spending, and we have engaged this department to now try to determine what the blockages are. The relevant engagements with respect to SODs and centralized project management unit have already commenced to resolve some of the bottlenecks. The Department of Transport has since transferred the Mthatha Airport project to the National Department of Transport. Hence, there is no progress in the expenditure. In respect of infrastructure related conditional grants, Chair, the province spent 94% of the total adjusted infrastructure. Next year, Chair, or this current year, we will be focusing in terms of infrastructure delivery in the capacitation of the Department of Roads and Public Works and the CPMU, which is the Central Project Management Unit, will continue to be strengthened in order to support the role of CFW as a formal implementing agent of the province. We have prioritized the improvement of the provincial roads network, including access roads to rural schools and clinics. This, we hope, will be funded through the provincial fiscal. In order to enhance infrastructure delivery in the province, we also focus on the promotion of integrated plans, improved coordination to avoid duplication in the 3 years of government, and to ensure optimal utilization of limited resources. We'll also be supporting departments through the CPMU to commence with the 2015-16 financial year plans by June 2013, so that the province is allowed to access funds to funding investment by 2015 financial year. There's also an effort, Chair, to say now that we have slightly improved on the actual expenditure, we improve on the value for money in respect of the infrastructure delivery. And the department tries to conduct site visits going forward. I think it's only one. In conclusion, sir, we're focusing on institutionalizing the lessons learned, particularly on improved infrastructure spending. This may include further rollout of the interdepartmental accounting model to other infrastructure departments. Strengthening of the CPMU and DRPW to facilitate planning and implementation by provincial infrastructure departments. Appointment of infrastructure specialists and the implementation of IDMS. With the improved spending in 2012-13, we'll also try to strengthen monitoring controls to ensure that the increased spending is commensurate with value created on the ground. These controls will include continuation of service delivery site visits and a detailed verification of much expenditure. We will try to institutionalize the accountability model wherein letters will be issued to the executive authorities to give account on performance by their department. Thank you, Chair and the House.
Thank you, MEC, and to the HOD, Mr. Shishi. Welcome again. You are part and parcel of the finance family. We will thank your input. Also, welcome to the gentleman from COCTA. We recognize your presence. You get the opportunity also to make your input. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. My presentation is on the numbers as published in terms of the requirements of Section 32 of the Public Finance Management Act. In addition to the publication of the actual numbers and the tables, etc., we have several months ago made a decision for National Treasury that we are also going to produce an analysis narrative of our assessment of the outcomes, because that's a slightly more weighty document. It takes a bit longer to publish, but that is currently with the Director General of the National Treasury for approval, after which it will be published publicly on the National Treasury's website in terms of our assessment of actually what the outcomes are, in addition to the numbers that we've already published last month. This is basically the format of the presentation. I'm not going to go through each and every single slide because in some instances it's just numbers that repeat exactly what the province has already said. And these numbers, in any event, we got from the province in terms of the side losses required are both Section 40 and Section 32 of the PFN. But in addition to the numbers, we're also going to look at issues related to the cash position of the province. From our side at the end of the financial year. And we've also taken the step to start looking at the issue of non-financial performance indicators. In other words, in addition to the financial figures, how have departments reported against the indicators that are in the ADPs that they tabled in the provincial legislature as tabled by the relevant MEC? So if we go to the next slide. Next one. Yeah, that's just an overview of the outcomes, very much in terms of what the HOD has presented from her side or from the province. The main budget was 56.2 billion. It was adjusted to 57.397 billion. A lot of that adjustment.
What document is million?
It is the aggregation. There's 1,000 million, but I can, it's just the way I'm reading it. 57,397 million. Yeah, which is the same as 57.39 billion. It's just the way I'm reading the aggregation. The spending then, of course, has an outcome of 1,469 million. There is a little bit of a difference in the numbers here and the numbers presented by the province of 726,000 rand. And the difference is a financial transaction, an unbudgeted financial transaction that took place sometime during the year that the province could speak to, but that wasn't the report in terms of the financials that came through. There. So that is a bit of a difference there. But that 726,000 wasn't the financials from the province in any event. So it's just a case of it was an amount that wasn't in the budget estimate, but there was an actual movement of that money. And from the way that we report, we captured that as well, in addition to what was in the budget estimate. And then finally, before that, the additional grants, as you saw, 95.8% spent of the total available, and then the own revenue, the province over-collected. By over-collected, I mean they collected more than what they had budgeted to collect, 31.6% of the over-collection, leading to an amount of just over a billion committed. The next slide is just an overview of the payments and receipts I've already outlined. This is just for the one quarter. If you move on to the slide after that, it's for the year-to-date, which is the total in the financial year, in terms of economic classification, those are the outcomes there. And you can see at the bottom of that slide the 726,000 rand that I spoke to, that transaction that occurred there during the year. Move on to the next slide, just to break it down into specific sectors within the province. Firstly, if we look at the social sector education, As the HOD has outlined, the major area of under expenditure within education in the Eastern Cape is compensation of expenditure. This is quite notable from our perspective because it's the first time that Eastern Cape has underspent on compensation in quite a number of years. The province has been overspending its personnel budget, I think, since about 2007. So it is quite a very significant turnaround. But the reasons, of course, are the critical discussion point as outlined by the HOD, which of course we can sort of discuss or interrogate as we go on. A very minor over expenditure on the goods and services, 0.4%, and then of course the issue of the transfers was where the rest of the under expenditure happened. Net, therefore, education underspent by just under 692 million. Health, next slide. you can see there the area under the program. And I think what this reflects, once again, if you look at the top portion of that particular table, it divides the programs within the department. And what that basically says is that that second program, Program 2, which is the District Health Services, largest and certainly the most critical program in the province, continues to be under pressure. This is where the primary health care facilities are, district hospitals, etc., where a majority of the care takes place. And that's historically been an area of pressure, and once again we see that this time around. Nevertheless, it was offset by other expenditure in other areas, particularly in respect of provincial hospitals, as well as health sciences and training in the province. And quite a lot of that under expenditure is related to compensation, as the HOD outlined in her presentation. But as you can see, goods and services overspent, and a lot of that of expenditure was, of course, in district services within the health department. Social development, which is the next slide, is a department that has sort of always underspent its budget, and I think this is an issue that, although the under expenditure is not huge by any means, I think part of the issue is here that what one is looking at in terms of the way the department operates is what should be the balance between services provided by the NGOs and on the other hand services provided directly by the department through the in-house social workers, because there are social workers hired by the department and of course there are social workers hired by the NGOs. The NGOs are funded through the transfers budget, which as you can see they underspent a little bit by just over 7 million rand, and then of course the social workers and other people within the department itself are funded through the compensation budget, which is the major cause of the under expenditure at 23.7 million rand. So that really is about, in terms of how the department plans business going forward, how should we balance between the two in terms of in-house services versus the services that must be provided through the NGOs. And there's a lot of discussion points around that in the sector, as well as with us from a treasury perspective as far as budgeting is concerned for each of these programs, our sub-programs under social welfare services. The next set of slides is on the non-social sector departments, starting with what in most provinces is normally called agriculture, but in recent cases it's got the slightly more exotic name of rural development and agrarian reform. Where we have had quite a lot of under expenditure historically. There is under expenditure again this past year, but it is better than it was before, I think. And I think the department is starting to get its act together, because the under expenditure historically in this department has been very, very bad. But the major areas, as you can see there, are in sort of the agricultural economics, particularly as it relates to the goods and services budget of the department. Human settlements, as the treasury, provincial treasury was saying, is really the major problem area in the department, in the province. That third program is the program where the grant is. This past year, the grant is augmented with a little bit of an amount for disaster recovery funding. So that is where a majority of the under expenditure has taken place, and that is actually a major contributor to under expenditure for the entire province. If you look at the sports, recreation, arts and culture, there are two conditional grants here. It is the community libraries grant, as well as a mass participation program grant. So that is really the major area, particularly when it comes to the library ones. But I'll get to the discussion on the conditional grants in the next slide. You can go to the next slide. Yeah. I just need to point out for the eagle-eyed among us that there is a classification difference in conditional bonds between us and the province. There was a decision made at the national level, at the Technical Committee for Finance, which was endorsed by Budget Council, that at the national level we will not have a separate classification for disaster funding through conditional grants unless there was a rollover from a previous year. So, for instance, if you look at the comprehensive agricultural support grant line there in my slide, and you compare that with the slide of the province, you might think initially there's a bit of a difference, but actually all it is just that in the provincial estimates they've separated out the disaster portion of the CASP grant, and we haven't, because in terms of our accounting, we've added them together. And this was, you know, a lot of it was obviously at the request of the national department who were struggling to manage the grant under separate estimates, and they felt that it would be better to do it as one. So that's just a minor thing. But other than that, the numbers are the same. We can confirm the numbers are the same between ourselves and the province in respect of the conditional grant. And if you go to the next slide, you can see that the grant where, again, where there's a problem is the Human Settlements Development Grant. That's where we've had quite a bit of under-expenditure. This under-expenditure has been going on for some time. And a decision was made between, it was made between ourselves and the National Department of Human Settlements that we're going to withhold a certain amount of money from the province because of persistent and continuous under-expenditure. So we implemented Section 17 of the Division of Revenue Act, and we withheld that. The National Department of Human Settlements has been undertaking a process with the province to try and deal with the issues that are causing the under-expenditure itself on the ground. Recently, there was a communication. We requested some feedback from the National Department. I signed a letter to the National Department sometime in January asking for an assessment of remedial action. There has been a reply to that from the National Minister. Actually, Minister Sekwali wrote to Minister Gordon about some of the remedial actions that they're looking at. And so the National Department and us are going to be meeting during the course of the next 2 weeks to discuss how that is going and what are the next steps we're going to take. At the moment, the funds are held in abeyance, and we're going to make a decision about what we're going to do with those funds through the rollover process. But they're there, they've just been held in abeyance at this time, and then we can finalize the plan for the remedial action. The next slide then takes us to the infrastructure study. Let me just caution members and users of this information. The infrastructure spending is not the same as the classification of capital. Sometimes people get confused between the two, and they expect that it should be exactly the same. It's not the same. Because infrastructure spending will include maintenance, for example, on existing infrastructure, which, of course, won't be part of the capital asset classification. This infrastructure classification is a classification that we use and has established as National Treasury. It's not in the normal SCOA classifications that are published. We have given it to you today to present it to you for information so that you can get a sense of what our estimates of the infrastructure, as it were, are in the province. And you can see there that in terms of this estimate, it's quite a bit of that quite a bit of under expenditure in infrastructure as well, and I think the province also touched on that in their presentation. Going on to the own revenue, which is the next slide, that just once again repeats what I said about the fact that they collected 31.6% more than anticipated in the adjustment. I mean, the major areas where there was quite a bit more collected than anticipated, you can see them there. That's where the percentages are over 100%. A little bit in horse racing taxes, as well as sales of goods and services, and that would include things such as health patient fees for the most part. And then, of course, interest. And that interest, that line item, interest, dividends, and rent on land, a lot of that is actually the interest that the province earned on unspent deposits in a bank account. So that amount of money that you see there that is unspent translates to a certain level of bank deposit positives that of course earn interest while you're sitting in the bank, and that also was a major contributor to the collection of more revenue than anticipated. And then dovetailing off of that in the next slide, talking about the actual cash position of the province. The bottom line, the cash position of the province is very healthy indeed, and they have a positive cash balance on aggregate of over 3.5 billion rand. I can't remember if yourself, Honorable De Beer, Honorable Charlie were at the previous budget council in February, but you may recall I presented information on cash surpluses to the budget council, cash surpluses of provinces. And MEC Masuwali provided some information as well about the reasons for the surplus in the Eastern Cape. But essentially that's the position at the end of the year, so quite a positive cash balance, as you can see there. So basically, if you look at the departments, which is under the PMG line, there's a few departments that have negatives, particularly the big ones such as health, but those negatives are cancelled out by the very significant exchequer balances. Exchequer meaning the amount sitting in the commercial bank that is that holds money for the province in the province. And then at the bottom there, the CPD accounts, CPD being the Corporation of Public Deposits, which is the South African Reserve Bank. The province has deposits there as well. Now moving on to the next section, this is where we're trying to, this is a sort of a thing that we're pushing, a fairly relatively new process, and we've had a quarterly performance reporting system in respect of non-financial performance for a while, but we're now trying to take it to the next level. We've had this in place, the APP and reporting system in place for provinces for quite a number of years. As members, I'm sure, will be aware or maybe aware, this is something that hasn't been there for national departments, but we've pushed for provinces for quite a number of years from our side. And what we're now trying to do is we're trying to push the issue of linking the non-financial performance with the actual financial performance in terms of the actual expenditure, i.e., what do the rands and cents buy in terms of those particular programs that are being funded through these departments. So we've just taken a selection of items that we have decided we're going to publish publicly, actually, Honorable Chair, so that the public can actually see these numbers for all the provinces. In addition to that, we have asked each of the provincial treasuries in the country to publish for their own department within the province the non-financial information such as this here within the provincial treasury website on a quarterly basis. So we're trying to push this issue of non-financial performance. Part of the reason is that even though we've got the framework in place and we issue a framework document on an annual basis to provinces with respect to strategic planning and a guideline on APPs, we're seeing that there is still quite a bit of malicious compliance that we have to deal with. Now, if you look at the health one, for instance, health is relatively better than most sectors and it's actually quite good. The APP, in respect of the total number of patients on antiretroviral treatment, for 2012-13, for Eastern Cape, the target that they set for themselves in the APP was 297,000, the cumulative number that was supposed to get to that level by the end of the financial year. By the time we got to the third quarter, there were 219, just under 220, and then at the end of the year, preliminary output that we currently have is that they achieved 233,662 patients on ARTs, against that target of 297,000. So they fell short a little bit of their target, but that's just, I mean, that's just some interesting information, I suppose, in terms of where the department ended up. If you go to the next slide, that's where we look at social development. And this is, illustrates, I think, the issue of possible malicious compliance, which I was touching on, which we are now wanting to push and deal with, together with provincial treasury. The department set themselves a target for number of persons with disabilities in funded residential facilities managed by the non-profit organizations, in other words, the NGOs. They set themselves a target in the APPs, this is a published number, tabled by the NEC for Social Development, of 2022. And as you can see, each and every single quarter, they somehow managed to perfectly meet it. This hasn't happened anywhere else in the province, and I suppose one would expect that there'll be a difference here and there, but when the number is absolutely exactly the same every time, it seems to suggest that there was a copy and paste going on in the reporting. So we're putting this out today to be honest with the members, to say we've got a problem, and it's a problem that we recognize and that we need to solve it, and we want to address it, and we started addressing it, both the provincial treasuries and provincial departments as well. And last month, we also had a meeting with the National Department of Social Development Chair to also highlight to them that they also need to come into the state to start dealing with this issue and start helping us, both in terms of the target setting as well as getting the actual reports to be run. If you go to the next slide, also for social development, you can see a similar trend. I won't repeat myself. You can see that there's an issue there. Another province where we've had a problem, by the way, as you can see, Northwest. In some cases, Northwest have either not reported or they report again exactly the same number, or they've got exactly the same target every time. If you go to the next slide, that's just sports, arts and culture. This is the report. Last week we had the session on the grant, on the community libraries grant. Here again, you can see there's a number of gaps that we need to sort out there in terms of. I don't want to again repeat myself. I think I'm just making the point that this is an issue that we have diagnosed and are dealing with. The next slide is on human settlements. And in human settlements, we've been working for, I'll say, the last 2 years to really try and firm up the numbers and make them better. It's complicated in human settlements because the housing code has got so many different programs, and more than 30 programs in the housing code, so it's quite complicated. So one would need actually a special session to discuss human settlements because of its complications. But that's just for your information in terms of what they actually put in the APP in the first column there, and then on a quarterly basis what has been reported. Just to conclude then, which is the last slide, the overall underspending was mainly under the education department. A lot of that underspending was in compensation for the reasons that the HOD has already outlined. Human settlements underspent at 292. The conditional grant was underspent by quite a bit there. And then health also underspent. And then the second bullet just repeats that. The third bullet, we're saying there that the conditional grants, yes, they're underspent. The reason we say it's not that bad is not because we're saying that it's perfect. There's a long way to go, particularly in human settlements. But there's a very significant improvement in conditional grant expenditure in this province, and I think it's fair to acknowledge that. That they've gone from an under expenditure level in the 80s, 84%, to just under 96%. And I think that is, we're saying that it's good that we've got that improvement and we want to see more of that. And really the under expenditure has now essentially been isolated to one department in respect of conditional grants, and that is human settlement. A lot of the other under expenditure is smaller amounts for which the reasons are things that we can resolve as we go along there. The provincial government is planning to request for rollovers on these things, and at the time when we put this together, we hadn't received the request yet, but we have now received them, I can confirm, and we have scheduled the session with this and all the other six provincial treasuries in the country to discuss the recommended rollovers, that will happen during the course of this week, and then next week there will be a finalization with the National Rollover Committee on the request from provinces. And that's my story, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sisi, for this analysis. Sokta, any inputs from you?
The first person, good morning, honorable members, the MEC from Eastern Cape. My name is Mawai Tumchuta. I come from Cocteau National.
I work there, the DDG Finance and Corporate Services. I'm also a Chief Financial Officer. And first of all, I apologize for the accounting officer, Mr. Usima Dondela, who was invited, but he was double-booked. He's currently meeting the portfolio committee of the department, so he couldn't attend, and he asked me to come and represent himself. Chairperson, I don't have any input to make.
So you work, Honorable
Chair, I think what is very, very interesting is to know how did he prioritize you know, the portfolio committee and the select committee. How did you go about prioritizing? I think it is important that we should know, should understand, you know, is our standing in Parliament.
Honorable Leash.
Chairman, exactly the same question, except that I was astounded by the comments that was made that we should understand that the portfolio committee, therefore we can't come here. And, you know, the implication was already there.
Sir, you have come. Must take a message back to your DG that the 29th of May be diarized for the whole day. You can book his flight back for the next day to Pretoria. And we accept written apologies. That's a norm and a standard in Parliament. Are there anything you want to add or give a question? Yes, sir.
No, Chair, I think the one important thing, Chair, that one wanted to check as well, you know, it's a critical department in the province. And the province of Eastern Cape has been called upon to come and account for what's happening there. And one will understand that they may have actually received the reports from the Eastern Cape. And we should actually be seeing some reports from them that details their responses and how they see Eastern Cape. But now I'm not having any piece of paper, and then he's having a, looks like a handwritten piece of paper, which is that probably came just simply to come in here. And now he's just taking notes of what was happening here. And surely it is not processed the information that you're going to get from him.
Do you have any documents met to the committee, hard copies?
Thanks, Chairperson. And I note the concerns raised by the members, and those will be taken back to the department, and the accounting officer. As far as I'm concerned, Chairperson, the invitation was that we as a department come to the Select Committee on Finance as observers. We are not expected to prepare presentations. And I think that's the reason why we didn't do that. But now that committee is saying they are that expectation, and I think that will be followed up in the next meeting with the department will prepare the way we see the provinces operate, and more especially the municipalities, that presentation will be provided given in the next meeting.
Questions. FFC will give you an opportunity, Mr. Kumalo, after we take any questions. Are there questions you want to ask now? You're welcome. Honorable members? During the meeting, Honorable Monsisi and Honorable Bloom, welcome to the Honorable Members.
Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mashiri.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think there are two straight points that one just wants to raise by the beginning, Chair. I think it must be made clear to COFTA that if COFTA is not on its ball, we can't have the provinces to function properly. If they are really not on their two legs, we can't get the provinces, we can't get the municipalities to actually perform as is expected. And wherever you are called, it's expected that you'll be able to do some planning, collecting information, understanding exactly the situation, and analyzing and interpreting in your own way in relation to your own program. And then you come up here and then you greet whoever called you. Yeah, I mean, you can't come on holidays too. I think that is also one thing that needs to be made clear. And of course, the first issue that we raised, I'm sure maybe you can make it clear as well, why there was a need for the HOD to actually present to us. You see, if the HOD presents, gives an indication that the HOD is on top of things and knows what is happening within the department. But I mean, if you delegate that to somebody else, then you start showing that you are a typical desktop or a remote operating HOD. Therefore, we start having problems. We need HODs that are on top of their things. They know the report clearly. We don't need the ones that are championed by CFOs. We know CFOs, they are actually working with everything, and they actually know everything that's happening in the department. They can run the presentation. But the question is, when you get the CFO to run, does the HOD know what is happening? Or is the HOD relying on the CFO? Then if it's relying on the CFO, then you have a problem. Then you have a problem. I think that is, that's one critical issue that why we really need HODs, municipal managers, DGs, to be on top of their things. Chair, from Mr. Sishi, when you are dealing with the over expenditure and under expenditure, I think it was on education. And then he indicated that there was an over expenditure, and then his comment was that luckily, and then there is an under expenditure which offset the over expenditure. Now I just have a small problem with that comment, Chair. That he actually suggests that you can overspend on certain items and then and underspend on others. And then as long as the difference, then it is within the bound, then it is fine. I'm just simply trying to put a finger chair on financial discipline. That's all what I'm just trying to call, Chair. And then then it is the cash balance of 3.5 billion. Of course, all of us, we want the province to have a positive cash balance. But when you have a cash balance over such under expenditure that has postponed service delivery to people, can you really celebrate the cash balance? Can you really celebrate it? Because this cash balance in majority is not a cash balance due to a proper and efficient usage of finances. It's just simply based on unspent funds, postponement of service delivery. Simple as all that. Can we really celebrate this? Can we really stand on top of mountains and really celebrate this? And then the other issue, Chair, that I wanted to raise as well, is the question of the report that the treasury in the province receives from the department. How authentic, how correct, how true to the real issues that happens on the ground are those reports that they are fed from the department? How do we really verify that the reports that comes to treasury for you to be able to account are correct and they talk to real issues on the ground? What sort of verification methods that are being used to actually ascertain these figures? But because we know, and we have heard many times even from Auditor General, that the kind of reporting that are received, as well as National Treasury on its own, it has indicated that the kind of reports that come from provincial departments or national departments or municipalities, they are not reports that you can really celebrate. Many are cut and paste, others like it is indicated on the performance figures, where you just simply have the department just putting a constant figure across, because it's just a compliance of sending a report. But the figure doesn't talk to anything on the ground. Now, taking that as an example of the rest of reports that comes from such a department, how much can you rely on their reports? And then the other issue from the CC, it is the report on the number of housing units that are being completed that you are reporting on. how do you report on the units that are demolished? The Eastern Cape, I think the Eastern Cape, Tokyo Swale, then actually went on air to say that there are a couple of units that are going to be demolished. And then Free State, I think we have just had a few weeks back, certain units were being demolished and rebuilt. How does those figures actually impact on the number of units that are being recorded? And a chairperson from the province, I'm sure we had this even last week. This issue of complaining about emerging contractors, problems of cash flows, probably maybe one can understand from treasury in the province. Is it really a problem of the emerging contractors or a problem of our procurement of these emerging contractors and the subsequent contract management thereof? Because surely emerging contractors are emerging contractors. Of course, they don't have big bank accounts, you know, where they can just pull money. But surely if the necessary steps of procurement and the checks on these emerging contractors are done properly and ascertain their capacity to execute the kind of work in front of them, and followed by the necessary project management, which means it's the professional service providers that are supposed to actually look after them, then we can't have this kind of problem. That's my understanding. We can only have a problem of emerging contractors if they are actually procured and then they are left alone in the middle of nowhere, and then to actually do the work. So probably let me get a little bit much more clarity from the province. What is actually the problem? And of course, care is some of the under expenditures that the province has reported on. Some, there are steps that have been taken to correct. But some of the other conditional grants, I think there was no indication how you were going to correct it. Example of the human settlement, there's nothing that indicates what is there that you can take as a corrective measure. Others, there is an indication of what has happened to correct the anomaly. Okay, I think I'll just stop there for now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your indulgence, Mr. Chairman, may I ask a quick question and get a quick reply, because it will then influence my other questions. That date, I would like to ask what date the adjusted budget was determined.
It was tabled around the 20th of November.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, okay, let me just get back to Mr. And he was quite right in his response about millions versus thousands of millions versus billions and so on. But perhaps he could explain to me slide 5, the figures there relating to over expenditure. And I'm sure when you look at the figures, you'll understand my question. Jim, with regard to the province, could we have, on slide 4, it's an explanation of the provincial receipts and why they exceeded the budget. I'm afraid I don't understand the comment about rural development. We're talking about a province here, so I assume that is globally the whole province. So rural development and agrarian reform is a department within the province, as I understand it. And Mr. Bishi suggested it was quite a unique name for the department, and so I have to assume that's the department in the province. So how can a transfer of funds within the province result in additional receipts for the province? I'm afraid I don't understand. It's like taking money out of my right pocket and putting it in my left pocket and saying I'm richer as a result. So if I could get an explanation there. Mr. Chairman, the question of the date of the adjusted budget is an interesting one. So it was kind of done in October, I suppose, and approved in November. And so what we're doing now is we're comparing actual with the adjusted budget. And there are huge variances, Mr. Chairman, over a period of only 4 months. And so I question how the adjusted budget is done. Perhaps the provincial treasury isn't to blame here, but is the care taken with the adjusted budget, which is appropriate? I mean, all we're asking in adjusted budget is to look at the year to date and look forward and get 4 months, and yet we get so wrong. Jim, the slide 6 deals with the underspending contribution. And so once again, the date of this adjusted budget is consequential or is important. Because we're told that one of the main reasons for underspend is that the payment of temporary teachers contracts were due to expire at the end of December. So the adjustment budget was done probably nearly 2 months before that. So it was done when I have to assume that there had not been a decision yet to extend the contract to the end of March. So the adjustments budget presumably was looking at contracts ending the end of December. Therefore, the extension of the contracts to the end of March, if anything, should result in over-expenditure, not under-expenditure. And so I really need an answer there. The delay in the payment of rural allowance incentive scheme, we really need some detail here. We all, I think, are aware of the chaos in the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape, particularly with trying to get teachers to move to places where they're needed and not be sitting in a classroom where there are 4 teachers with their classroom. And I would have thought one of the key incentives would be this very rural alliance. And perhaps, again, it shouldn't be Provincial Treasury who's sitting here answering this question. Perhaps should be the Education Department. But, I mean, I'm astounded that in that desperate need to have teachers teaching in rural areas, we have an incentive scheme which is underspent. Now, with regard to the health, delays in replacing critical posts throughout the year, since they vacated during 2012-13, we wait until March, the last month of the year, and then we advertise the post. Again, it's probably poor provincial treasury having to answer a question that the health should be on, but I don't know what the intervention of provincial treasury could have been on this matter. But it is provincial treasury which is giving us this reason. And I would have thought that they should have asked themselves the question, hang on, we're going to Parliament. We're going to say what we're saying. We need to get answers as to why it only took place in March. Otherwise, what's the point in telling us that? Now, in terms of rural development, again, I'm still on slide 6. The HOE made a comment off slide, which I don't understand. Transfer to the public entity that do not surrender service funds, and then off slide she said something to the effect, and anyway, we probably won't ever recover that money. Could I please get an understanding of what she meant when she said that? Mr. Chairman, yeah, I see in the comments the HOD quite correctly says that an allocation problem where conditional grants are overspent and the journals will be done. Well, that's fine. Technically, I understand that. I'm disappointed that the allocations are done incorrectly in the first place. But my question is, once the journals are done, what does that do to the expenditure in the departments? You're reporting to us about expenditure of the province separately from conditional grants. In conditional grants, you say there's an allocation problem, so I assume that allocation correction hasn't been put through in the other figures for the department. I might be wrong, but you need to tell us. I conditional grants, and Mr. Sishi, perhaps you can help me as well on this one. My understanding of conditional grants is there's a business plan done, and you know we actually have a very good idea of how that money is going to be spent. Now, on CUSP, the excuse is given is a lack of detailed planning by the department, creditworthiness, in other words. In other words, this, what is the business plan a desktop kind of exercise just to get the money, and then we actually then get the money, and now we have to really decide what we're going to do with the money. Is that what is being said? I've asked about the question of the budgetary implications of conditional grant overspending journals. The question of the National School Nutrition Program now, and a number of the other comments here, is because late submission of invoices and so on. And therefore there's a rollover. Now, technically, I understand that. I mean, it's a commitment, and we make sure it's safe. But does this late submission of invoices just happen at year end? Or is it an issue that happens throughout the year? And I believe it probably is. I mean, particularly the nutrition program, where we deliberately target assisting emerging businesses. Because it's a business that most people can get involved in fairly successfully. Surely during the year we're dealing with these things and making sure that come the end of the year, everyone understands that they need to get their invoices in. Why do we use it as an excuse at the end of the year? Now, in terms of the HIV and AIDS life skills education, there's an underspending of 989,000, but the rollover is 500,000. I don't understand why the rollover is not 989,000 if the only reason that's given here for the underspending is the late submission of invoices. Because that to me is almost an automatic rollover. The service is being provided. It should have been accrued. The cost is accrued. It should be a rollover. But there's a difference of 489,000. What happened about that? Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm going ahead of myself a little bit on some of these questions. Okay. Again, with hospital revitalization, HRD made a comment about recover that money. Underspending of 45 million is a result of liquidation at Frontier and other bases, and then off the slide, recovery of that money is unlikely or something to that effect. So are we saying that these contractors were paid for services they have not yet delivered? Because if they were paid on certificates, then presumably the bricks and the mortar would be in place. And so the real loss, there'd be an underspending because of delays, but are we saying there's actual loss here? That money's been paid without the services or the construction being approved? Mr. Chairman, the National Health Insurance grant, there was some surprise expressed by my colleagues about the 4,000 rand here. And I think that my comment with regard to the late submission of invoices again applies here. If that was the reason for the 3.4 million underspend, then I can't understand why only 4,000 has been recommended for rollover. Mr. Chairman, on slide 16, I'm curious about what the Department of Roads and Public Works has to do with the devolution of property rights funds grant. It probably is simply my lack of understanding. So just clarify that to me. Are we saying that there's a dispute about who the properties belong to and that kind of thing? And then I'm happy for just a confirmation on that. on mass sport and recreation, here we're not told about late submission invoices. We talk here about late introduction of a centralized tender system, and yet a huge amount, 7.5 million of 8.5 million, have been recommended for rollover. On what basis? If there are no accruals, on what basis has that been recommended for rollover? Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I will get to the end. I think a general comment, Mr. Chairman, is that so much of the remedial is, this is what we intend to do, or this is what we are planning. So little, if anything, is this is what we have done, and this is how, this is the resultant improvement. It's a bit, I suppose, about, like the comment about the replacement of vacancies, advertised and marked for vacancies that apparently ever go throughout the year. Thank you.
Big Honourable Chair, I'd just like to refer to page 5 of the slide of the department, where it refers to the heading provincial planning and treasury. I'm just interested to know if the provincial planning is a subdivision of treasury, or why it is called provincial planning and treasury. My opinion, treasury is just spent out and on its own. The other point I want to raise is the procurement within human settlement. I would like to know if that lack of, heard there was lack of capacity, but I would like to know if there's non-compliance in the procurement department, or the rating of officials in the department. Tell us where exactly is that problem in human settlement, or is it just merging contractors is failing the department. I noted the good governance, the progress on income, and of course the interest linked to that for unspent money, but I would like to know how does the department, and I'm asking Mr. Shishia, how does the department how does improved performance lead to the 2014 order campaign, the clean audit? What is the status now if we've heard this report? And then of course the other question is the decision by Treasury to adopt these money due to underspending. I would like to know what is the monitoring system there, and what criteria is used to give more money to the Department of Human Settlements. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. No, Chair, it's just a very quick question. Some of which have been asked, I think, by my colleague. The issue of the three sectors, education, health, and human services, the understanding thereof. My worry is that it seems like there's no provincial plan for education, health, and human services. The understanding. One does not get a sense of a provincial plan that has been put into place to ensure that this problem is arrested once and for all. Apart from the intervention from the National Department of Human Settlement, the intervention that they are making, can we hear how the Treasury in the province is supposed to be dealing with this problem across the board? But the other issue that our colleague Mr. Special has raised, he has picked up 726,000, which is unaccounted for. It is movement which I would need a response from our colleagues there. But with respect to the other issue that Honorable Mashile has raised, 3.5 billion and the 75 million that has been sitting in the bank. It's an issue of whether delivery on certain key areas is actually seem to be done. Because like Honorable Moshile is saying, really we would want to make sure that there is a value for this money that we are keeping. So keeping money as against delivery. I mean, we know the state of affairs in the case. We still have the problem with social inadequacy. Yeah, thank you, Chef.
Thank you very much, and we welcome the submission by the province. Most of the questions have been covered by my colleagues, and I will just go straight to slide number 4. There's the one question over and above the one that is out of this. I just want to check your figures there under those cycle points does not correspond with the one on bullet point, the 244. If you add all those three, it gives you something far higher than that. I'm not sure what is the situation. If you can just look into those figures and give us the correct figure. Slide number 7. A question has been asked here, but I'll be more interested to understand as to what is it that human settlement is doing now to correct the situation, because if you were to talk RBP houses, you could see that over almost 3,000 houses could have been built had it not been of this underspending for the residents advance. What is the situation going forward with regard to that? The Chapter 3 of the PFMA outlines the responsibility and powers of the provincial treasuries. And it is quite clear that one of the key functions of the provincial treasury is to oversee the provincial budget. Now, the question that I want to ask is, looking at this particular report, and the fact that in summary, you find that all this underspending is said to be as a result of delays in submission of invoices by contractors, delays in procurement processes, contractors' performances, and so on and so forth. Now, I want to know if the Eastern Cape Provincial Treasurer has got capacity to execute its functions as outlined in the PFMA. Because most often, once the department does not have capacity, you are bound to lack someone. And quite an honest response on that one will be appreciated, so that we then begin to assist each other as to how should the province be assisted before anything unintended happens. We don't want the improper situation in any of the provinces. That is an experience that you don't wish for anybody. Hence my question as to whether you have capacity. And that question is informed by this huge under-expenditure that you find across most of the departments. You see, Chair. And with regard to rollovers, I would want to understand as to what happened to the difference between what is being requested as a rollover and what is not requested. Does that mean that let's say for example National Health Insurance Grant, 3.407 million under expenditure, but there you only request four thousand rand rollover. Are you saying 3.403 goes back to National Treasury, or what's going to happen? Because in certain instances, you request rollover for the whole amount. In certain instances, you request part of the amount that is underspended. Well, what is the situation with regard to that unrequested amount? And under Slide 14, Hospital Revitalization Grant, the 45 million that is been underspent as a result of liquidation of contractor and one would need some more information on that one, if you can expand further in terms of the situation there in relation to that particular hospital. And yeah, Chair, I think that would be all from me.
Thank you, honorable members. It's very clear from the presentation that assistance is needed regarding detailed planning by process. The sentence appears 4 times. Internal planning challenges, delays in procurement processes, and late submission of invoices. That were reasons presented to us for underspending. So we will have to zoom into that as well as what is your, as Provincial Treasury, your strategy to assist the other departments in the province addressing the audit findings and ensure a clean audit. Honourable members, we are all human. We're going to break now for 10 minutes and then come back and listen to the responses. So we suspend the proceedings for 10 minutes.